Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and while we're getting there, I want to make one little announcement that none of you probably are aware of. The other day, I received an email from the White House, and 2 weeks from this coming Thursday, or 1 week from this Thursday, we go with our government class to Washington, D.C., which we do every year for a two-day visit. We have been approved for a tour of the White House. For the first time in 12 years that we've been going, that's the very first thing that we're going to get to do. So we were all just really, really excited about that. The funds coming in have been just a little slow, and that kind of helped us get over that hump to, you know, because, wow, we're going to the White House. But we do this every year as part of our government trip. We take a tour of the Capitol, this time going to the White House. We go to Arlington Cemetery and various things like that. There are 14 students in the class this year, so we have a group of 18 that are going, and we're looking really forward to it this time. That was just exciting news. It's always exciting to get an email from the White House. You know, big important thing there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now I think here in chapter 6, Paul is continuing something that he said in chapter 5, verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. When he was talking about the relationship of husbands and wives. And he's saying it's a mystery because it's about Christ and the church. And I think that he's still developing that theme. He's showing some things, some aspects of our behavior, but really what it represents and what it's a picture of to the rest of the world is that of Christ and the church. And so he goes on here, and something to keep in mind, when these books were written, when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he didn't stop and say, chapter 6, verse 1. He's just writing, this is a continual letter. It's been divided for us into chapters and verses to help us find our way and know where we are and make reference to it. But for the most part, you know, it's just written as a single whole, and sometimes I think it's good to read it and maybe look for divisions, because I'm not so sure that I would have put chapter 6 here. I just don't think that I would have done it, because it interrupts the flow of thought. But something that I want to point out about Paul, and something that I've been seeing with him, is that, you know, he often quotes from the Old Testament law. And what I want to look at in a moment is that he seems to quote from it more than the others do. The ones that we say, well, you know, they were about the kingdom and law, and they followed that aspect. But I keep going back and saying to them, what's Paul doing? And what I want to show later when we get there is that I can find you a reference from Paul's epistles where it's either direct or indirect reference to 10 commandments, that he refers to all of them except one. There's only one of the 10 that we will not find referenced in his writings. And I think that there is a purpose. I don't think that he's putting it out there saying, now, look, you need to follow these. Because that was never his purpose. And one of the things that I have said and will always say about Ten Commandments, that's not our message of salvation. We don't tell people, now if you follow the Ten Commandments, you'll be saved, because that's not true. That's not the way that it is. But see, here he's writing, he's going to refer back to a commandment. First, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, he is speaking to children, and of course, we're all children. And is he making a differentiation between ages? I don't know. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother. Well, let's first of all, we'll talk about these words. The first one, obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And you know, one of the things that he gives as a sign of a time when people don't want anything to do with God is disobedience to parents. Disobedience to parents. And so here he writes, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Of course, if he's writing this to children, they certainly would have to be old enough to be able to read this and understand it. Children, obey your parents. And this word obey. Now, again, I just went to the dictionary. We'll talk about the word obey. It means to comply with the commands, orders, or instructions of a superior. To comply. Not question. I get that in school a lot. I get a lot of questions. But it's just to comply. Or to do that which is commanded. You do it. Or to forbear doing that which is prohibited. You can have a positive, you can have a negative. And isn't that what we find throughout the Scripture? You have some positive commands, you have some negative things that are said. Now, keeping in mind that word obey, I want to turn back to Romans chapter 10. Verse 16. And remember, in Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul is writing about Israel and what has happened to them. Romans chapter 10, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? They have not all obeyed the gospel. And I think when we see something like that, to obey the gospel, I'm thinking it's understanding that you must believe what Jesus Christ did on the cross to count for you, and you believe that, that's obeying the gospel. Because I know I can't go out and do something for Him to give me salvation. I can't be obedient in that way. But if I'm going to obey the gospel, then I have to simply say, this is what God has said. This is the provision that He made. I believe that. I believe that, and I trust in that. That's obeying the gospel. Now back to Ephesians 6, verse 2, honor thy father and mother. The word honor. So we're looking at obey, and now the word honor, and honor means to treat with deference or submission. Deference means I'm going to defer to you. I'm going to defer to your wisdom. We're going to do what you have suggested. I'm going to let you make the call here. Different from obedience. It's just I'm going to step back and submit to you, to your wisdom, whatever it might be. Or to entertain the most exalted thoughts of. So I'm thinking about this person and I'm thinking good thoughts and I'm going to entertain those thoughts. or to raise to distinction or notice, and to treat with due civility and respect. That's what it is to honor. And so I'm thinking about these two words, obey and honor. Is there a difference between those two words? And I think, yes, I think there is. Some people look at verse 1, obey your parents in the Lord, and they might say, well, your parents in the Lord, only Christian parents, only believing parents, and obey them. And I don't think that's the idea being conveyed. Because children are to obey parents. To me, it's more of the idea of you should be living in the Lord, and if for some reason your parents or anyone asks you to do something that is in violation of what you know to be true in the Word of God, then that's the time that you say, no, I'm not going to do that. But I think that what he's doing is establishing the fact that the Lord is the one that is in charge. Again, it's that picture of Christ in the church. And he says, this is right. This is right. And again, speaking of students at school, I tell them, don't go by what you feel. If we did things according to what we feel, there's a lot of things we wouldn't do. A lot of things maybe we would do that we shouldn't. Operating out of feelings. We get up and go to work every day. Students get up and they go to school every day. And I tell them, did you feel like going to school today? Were you happy that the alarm clock went off and your mother came in and woke you up today and said it's time to go to school? And did you jump right up and throw your clothes on and say, wow, I can hardly wait to get there? I don't think so. Why are you here? Why did you go? That's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. And I think this is what Paul is saying. This is right. It makes sense. It keeps things in good order. Everything will be in disarray if this isn't happening. When he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. It's the right thing to do. It might not be something that you want to do, but it's the right thing to do. And it maintains order in society. Now, I want to go through some verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is a book that could be used for a lot of instruction about raising children. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The instruction of your father, law of your mother. And there he's just saying, hear them, listen to them. And a lot of times children, and it's probably why this is directed to children think, what does the old man know? And it's like they doubt that you were ever young, that you even know what this is all about. And children sometimes have a tendency to think that they know it all. And, you know, when I was a teenager, young teenager, I thought I had most of the answers. And then when you grow up and get older, you find out you didn't even know all the questions, let alone the answers. And so I think that this is why you find verses like this. Listen to those instructions. Listen to what they say. And this is, you know, I keep bringing in the students, but I keep telling them, you know, you all are going to grow up, and you know what? I'm a time traveler. I'm going into the future with you. Long after I'm dead and gone, I'll still be with you. You'll be hearing the things that I said, and you'll be saying, that Mr. Greenwood, he was right. He was right in what he said. You might think that I'm just really dumb right now, but later on, you'll know. And one girl kind of got mad at me because she was talking about something her mother had said and how she thought it was kind of crazy. And I said, you know what? You're going to be your mother one of these days. You're going to be her. You're going to look in the mirror and you're going to say, there she is. But she didn't like me telling her that either. But it's the truth. Look in chapter 3 of Proverbs. Verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. It's like the same thing that he said there in Ephesians when he talks about the promise that comes with that commandment. Honor your father and mother. What length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee? Is he saying that this is just some kind of spiritual, supernatural thing that God's going to do for you because you're keeping commandments? No, I don't think so. I think it just means you do these things. They are the wise things to do, and life is going to be peaceful. It's a natural thing that's going to happen. In chapter 4 of Proverbs, starting with verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. There, again, the idea is, pay attention. I'm giving you instruction. These instructions will help you. And again, children often have the way of thinking, what do the adults know? And later, you know, and I know this is true for my own self. Later, you remember those things they said, and you think, they were right. How did they know? It's just the order of things. And I think this is another passage saying, and speaking about the wisdom, get the wisdom. Learn from the wisdom. Especially from the wisdom of those that are older. And even not just even parents, but just those who have lived longer than you, they know a little bit more than you do. And appreciate their wisdom. Look at the same chapter, verse 20. Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. They're important. Keep them. Remember them. Follow them. Chapter 5 of Proverbs, verses 1 and 2. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Discretion, good word, discretion. That's what we want children to know, discretion. To know something, the difference between right and wrong. to understand the why, to have the wisdom about it. Chapter 6 of Proverbs, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. This is important information. And here, part of something that a parent gives is from the Word of God and that wisdom that comes from that. And if you do this, he's saying here, this is going to keep you from doing something you shouldn't. That commandment, that instruction from parents will stay with you and will keep you safe. Chapter 23 of Proverbs. Verse 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. That's very good information. Hearken to your father. Despise not your mother when she is old. Because she has the experience. So listen. And I think that we owe it to anyone who has a few more years than we do to listen. They have some wisdom, and we might think, gee, that's kind of crazy, but when the time comes, that's going to come back. And I think that's what the Scripture's all about. We might read something and think, oh, that doesn't really do anything in my life at all. And then later you find yourself in a situation and those things come back. And you remember, well, the Scripture says, and you remember those things. They've been put there. Now, I also, in thinking about this, obey your parents and honor your father and your mother. And which, you know, you obey is one thing, and honoring those definitions that I gave. If I'm going to honor, I can honor my parents. You know, my parents are both gone, but I still can honor them. I can honor their memory and honor the things that I remember that they said. And when your parents are still with you, you still honor them. You treat them with that distinction that is owed to them. So we always are honoring them and remembering the things that they have said. And they're you know, it's funny how the roles start to reverse. That when we have the small children, we have to take care of them. But as we go on, pretty soon it's the reversal and the children are taking care of the parents. And that's honoring them. That submitting to them, giving them deference. Or preferring them, deferring to them, to their wisdom. Now, when we talk about the law, to me there is some what-ifs to think about. And I think that the law covered some of these things. And I want to show you. In the book of Exodus, chapter 21. Exodus, chapter 21. Look at verse 15. Exodus 21:15. And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. I don't think they had juvenile delinquency in those days. I mean, the penalty was pretty severe. Along with that, if you look at Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. Matthew 15, 4. Now, the subject is the scribes, Pharisees are wondering, why aren't the disciples washing their hands before they eat? Because it was from the law. And Jesus, look at verse 3, he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. He quotes from the law there. He says that he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Well, they had skirted the whole issue. I say, well, it doesn't matter. You have to understand this is why we did this. He said, and what they've done is they're not honoring their father and their mother. He said, you're breaking God's law through your tradition. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. Leviticus 20, verse 9. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Now, the thing about these verses is it's never said that the father or mother said something really dumb. Or that they haven't, there never tries to give a reason for what they're doing. It says if they've cursed them, they're dead. They die. Because I think God's concern in the law was that the father and mother, these are important people. And again, when you look at society and the building blocks of society, one of those building blocks is that of the family. The father, mother, and children, and any time that's disturbed, then society starts to crumble and fall. And I think that we're seeing a society that a lot of times you're seeing disobedience to parents, and where parents are not being honored. To one point where you hear of children who say, I want to divorce my parents. I want to divorce myself from my parents. That is a violation of God's plan for society. And so we see it crumbling. Well, it begins the fact that if you don't believe in God, you don't believe in the Word of God, then you have no motivation to keep that family intact. And so we see the things just crumbling around us. And this is one place, one area that we will see this. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, verse 18. Now, this is almost funny. Deuteronomy 21, 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of his city, and unto the gate of his place, And they shall say unto the elders of this city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Again, I say, there are no juvenile delinquents. And you are going to obey your parents, or the consequences could be disastrous. You could die. So that's why I say it's in some ways it's funny, but this was part of the law. And there was a time, even in this country, probably I think what I've heard might be back before World War II, that there was no such thing as teenagers. That there were children and there were adults. And what we regard as teenagers, we allow them to still be just teenagers and not be responsible, but there was a point in time that even those of teenage years were responsible people. But we've kind of drifted away from that. And more now, it's like they're drifting from that responsibility. And we see, again, a breakdown within society itself. So I have found it interesting that Paul will go back to the law when he's wanting to establish something, when he's wanting to write something. And that even we can look at these things from the law and see the law was very stringent about what it said. Which is why I'm making the point that Paul is stressing that this is all a picture of Christ and the church. And we're not going to get this all covered today, so we're going to have to move on to it next time, because I want to talk about this idea that he says, this is the first commandment with promise. And you know, I looked at those Ten Commandments, and I think it's the only one with a promise. And I want to talk about promise, because I think when you talk about promises, that you have to differentiate between promises made to Israel and promises that are part of the church, the body of Christ. Because I think they're different. I think they're way different. But again, I found it interesting that Paul is talking about it, and we'll go to these verses where Paul directly quotes many of those commandments from the Ten Commandments, or he makes an indirect reference based on it, which to me is something interesting, because the big debate today is where they can hang the Ten Commandments. Can they be hung in a public building such as a courthouse or here or there? And people get all worked up over this. Well, we want the Ten Commandments. Well, the first four, I don't know that most people even know what they say. They wouldn't be understanding of what these commandments are all about. And again, as I have said, it's not our message of salvation. And if you ever hear someone say, well, if you keep the Ten Commandments, then you'll be saved, and think, I don't think so. There's something much more to it than that. So that's what I want to focus on. I want to look at those. But the fact that Paul talks about them, why is he doing that? What is his purpose? So we'll consider that next time.